This morning, there's somebody in this room today or watching that has come to a crossroads this weekend. In fact, you may have come to church today for God to speak to you, and he is going to speak to you right now. You're at a crossroads because you're asking God, God, I need to make a decision now about something. You might be watching online, and this is a life-changing decision. And you're going, what do I need to do? God, I need an answer. I need to know what you're saying to me. Well, first of all, I want to say this, that the Lord is saying to you, you need to hold on to things really lightly that you have around you. You're not to build your life around things that will you think will give you security, because those things will actually turn around and they will no longer be your security. If you put your trust in those things, what will happen is God will remove them because they are not for you to rely on. The only thing that you can rely on, the only thing you must rely on, the absolute certainty today is you have to rely 100% on the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will lead you and he will guide you. If you choose to put your faith and trust in anything else, it will fail. And so your pivotal moment is this. You need to hold lightly onto those things that you build around you, because if you do, they will fail. It will be like sand and it will fall. But today, the Lord Jesus is saying to you, turn your eyes, as has been said before, back to me. Put your eyes back on me and trust me like you did before. Go back to that time in your life where you trusted me with everything. Where you said, God, whatever you ask me to do, whatever you call me to do, whatever you say, I will do it. And if you do that and you respond and return back to that heart that you had before, then God will answer and provide. But if you choose not to trust him, if you choose not to put your faith in him, then you will have less than you had before. So if that's you today, I trust that you will listen and that God will bless you in that. So today we're going to be talking about stronger, better together. Can you say stronger, better together? Stronger, better together. We're in part 12. We've got quite a few parts to go. This one is slightly different because we're now moving into a season where we're going to look at people, ordinary people, where God does extraordinary things through his spirit in ordinary people. Who wants to be an ordinary person where God does extraordinary things? Anybody in here apart from me? And we're going to look at the lives of maybe 10 people, and then with a culmination of looking at Jesus, the perfect man in all these areas. And we look at a characteristic, and we're going to look at a characteristic today of obedience. Can you say the word obedience? And we're going to look at a man who was known for obedience, a man in the Old Testament. Anybody want to guess who that might be, a man of obedience? Go on then. Abraham. No. Arthur, do you remember you embarrassed me up here the one day with the scripture? Come on, Arthur. I'm thinking now. Who is it going to be? No. 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 Noah. Noah. That lady in the back. You definitely get a gold star. Noah. Noah was 600 years of age when the flood came. Noah was known for his characteristics of being a man of obedience. And we're going to look at people who faced situations like we face today, an immoral culture, sexual immorality was rife. We're going to look at people that experienced sexual temptation. There was issues over wealth and status. There was peer pressure. There was pluralistic belief. In other words, they believe in many gods. People that were worried and afraid. And I hopefully believe as we look at people like Noah and others, that they will inspire us and that will encourage us in our walk today. They will inspire us individually in our walk, that God will do something for each and every one of us in this family, Oasis family, and those that are visiting today. It will encourage us, but it will inspire us to do great things for an amazing God who wants to do great things today, who believes that God wants to do great things today. Who believes that? I do. And ultimately, being stronger, better together is becoming more like Jesus, because he's our role model. He's who we want to become like. So let's look at this man, Noah. 600 years of age when the flood came. So let's read the scripture. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. Can you say Noah walked with God? And Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and outside with pitch. And this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, its width 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. You shall make a window for the ark, and you shall finish it to a cubit from above, and set the door of the ark in its side. You shall make it with lower, second, and third decks. And behold, I myself am bringing floodwaters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh in which is the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. And every living thing of all flesh you shall bring two of every sort into the ark to keep them alive with you, and they shall be male and female. Of the birds after their kind, of animals after their kind, and of every creeping thing of the earth after its kind, two of each kind will come to you to keep them alive. And you shall take for yourself all the food that is eaten, and you shall gather it to yourself, and it shall be food for you and for them. Thus Noah did. Thus Noah did, according to all that God commanded him, so he did. Then the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. If we look at the characteristics of obedience, we find in the Western world today that it does not seem to be a quality prized in our culture, in our society today. Shirley Bassey sums it up, I'll do it my way. People can say, well, God, you can do it any way you like as long as it's my way. And people can do anything they like as long as it's done my way. And we live in a culture today, even in our church, where it's infiltrated into the West, where God, we're happy for you to do anything you like as long as it's done my way. Because if it's not done my way, God, then I don't really want to do it. And God says, this is my way. This is the way I want you to live. And sometimes we can go, do you know what? I like that page today, but tomorrow I don't like it. And so for us, if we're going to be stronger, better together, we need to be obedient to what God says. See, the Bible clearly instructs us that God is sovereign. Do we know that? Do we believe that? That means what God says goes. He's the boss. He's the big cheese. He's the big I am. What he says goes, and we have to submit in obedience to what he says. We can't choose the bits of the Bible that we like and ignore the rest. We can't choose how we live our life. We have to submit ourselves to what God says to us. You know, Noah demonstrated amazing obedience. He invested everything into obeying God. Can you say that? He invested everything into obeying God. Absolutely everything he had. His whole life depended on it. His whole family depended on it. Everything he had, he invested it to obey God. And today, as we look at this story, and the amount of times I read the story of Noah, and I'm absolutely amazed, I want to say, if we're going to be stronger and better together, the only way it's really going to happen is if we invest everything in obedience to God. Everything you have, everything you own, all your dreams, all your plans for your life, you have to invest them in obedience to God. See, God told the people that Judgment Day was coming. How did God tell the people that Judgment Day was coming? Through a man called Noah, who went up to the local car show and stood on the corner of the street and said, "Guys, Judgment Day is coming." His whole reputation he laid on the line. People laughed at him. "What are you on about, Noah? What flood? We don't even have rain here. What's a boat, Noah? Are you mad? Are you deceived?" He was insulted, probably mocked. Comes into town on his donkey. "Oh no, not that man again. Not Noah. What? He's not going to say that same old message. Judgment Day is coming." "Yeah, he is." He stands on the corner and says, "You know what? God's going to flood the earth. I'm building an ark. You need to be in the ark to be saved. Can you say that? You need to be in the ark to be saved." For years, he builds an ark. For years, he tells the people, "You need to get in the ark. When this ark's ready, you've got to be ready. You've got to be in to be saved." He invested everything he had, and God gave the people a chance to be saved. This great flood was a terrible, horrific situation. In Boxing Day 2004, there was a great tsunami that hit Indonesia and Asia. 229,000 people died on Boxing Day. A quarter of those were children. 9,000 of them were tourists. Do you remember that day, on that Boxing Day? No one was expecting it. They were just going along every day, doing the same old thing. And then the tsunami arrives and wipes them out. Can I tell you, that day was like a puddle in terms of what happened on the earth in Noah's time. But God gave them a chance to change. God said, "Judgment is coming, and to be saved, you need to be in the..." Where do you need to be saved? In the ark. But they didn't listen. Everything on this earth drowned. This was God's judgment on a sinful world. Can I just say, there is another judgment day coming. Do you know that? There is another judgment day coming. Jesus has talked to us about it. How do we know it's coming, apart from the fact that Jesus told us, is from the story of Noah, that teaches us that when God says he's going to do something, he's going to do it. And there's a day coming that he doesn't want that day to come. There's a day coming, a judgment that will be worse, far worse than the flood that ever hit this earth. And it's on its way. It's going to happen because God says so. And you know, the only way that people are going to be saved is through saving faith in Jesus Christ. See, for Noah, God gave the ark. For us, God gave his son. And it's only through faith and obedience to follow Jesus Christ that we will be saved. Genesis 6 verse 9, Noah was a just man, perfect in his generation. Noah walked with God. We're told twice that Noah was righteous. He was righteous in moral behavior. He was blameless in his community, and that he walked with God. He didn't follow the patterns of the community around him, the culture around him, the immoral lifestyle. He chose not to live like that. He chose to be different because God had asked him to be different. He chose to have a different spirit from the people that were around him. And God contrasts this man, this ordinary man, who chooses to live a lifestyle that God asks him to live, and he contrasts it to the people around him that are wicked. And then the day comes. Noah gets up and God says, Noah, today's the day. What do you mean, God? Today's the day you go and get your family and you bring them into the ark, because judgment day is today. And you and your family need to be in the ark. Today's the day, Noah. And so Noah takes his family, and we find that God floods the world. I want to say that the breakdown in what's happening in our world today is directly linked to our sinful world, to sinful man. The more sin and sinful that we get, the more we see these disasters. This is why God says that these things are going to happen. This is why God prepares us for things that are ahead of us, because sin is getting greater, but the light's getting brighter, which is Jesus. And Jesus is calling people to him, and people are getting in the ark and following him and getting saved. But you see, we have to be real today, whether we're a Christian or not, is that God sees the deepest things in our lives. We can't hide them. We can't behind a lead shield pretend that God can't see us. God sees absolutely everything in our life. Nothing is hidden. And a judgment day is coming where we will all give an account. Romans chapter 2, verse 16. In that day, when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. In that day, God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ. And Noah warned in this story of two things. He warns of judgment, but he also warns, or not warns, he gives some good news about salvation. But you know, even though God warned the people in Noah's day, they still carried on doing the same old thing that they'd always done. Oh, it'll never happen. It'll never come about. Judgment day. God wouldn't do that. He's a good God, isn't he? If their God exists. But it did happen. Matthew 24:37-39, but as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until that day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them away, so also will the Son of Man be. When Jesus returns, it tells us people will be just doing the same old thing that they've done every day. But that day will be different. Judgment day is coming, and it will be different because the Lord Jesus will come, not meek and mild as a baby, but he will come in the clouds, and he will come with flaming fire and take vengeance on those who do not know him and do not obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they will be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. The story of Noah is about judgment and about salvation. Jesus is coming again. And I want to tell you that today, for us to be stronger, better together, Emmanuel, we need to tell people Jesus is coming back. We need 20 people next time. We need more. Because people outside need to hear that judgment day is coming. 2 Thessalonians 1:7-10. When the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God. You know, God, in his mercy, gave Noah specific instructions on how to build a lifeboat. There was no maps on how to build lifeboats in Noah's day. So God gave him one. God provided an answer for the judgment that was coming. He wanted Noah to be saved, and he wanted the people around him to be saved. It was a big ark. But the ark in the Old Testament points forward to the New Testament, and it points forward to the person of Jesus Christ. And that no longer will people be saved in an ark, but people will be saved because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, which provides salvation. See, the ark rose from the waters of judgment, and today for us, salvation comes with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? By Jesus being raised from the grave, by us having faith and believing that Jesus is the Son of God, we will be saved. That's good news for us. If we have faith to believe that Jesus is Lord and he has been risen from the dead by God the Father, and we put our faith and obedience in him, we will be saved. But there are people here that we need to say, you need to get into the boat today. On Thursday, I was in Norfolk, at Wells by the Sea. Esther and I were sitting there enjoying ourselves, and we were sitting watching, they call it a harbour, it's more like an estuary that comes in, boats that were sunk into the mud because the tide was out. And I noticed a family came, and they came past us, and they walked down this jetty, and they went to go into a boat. And I thought, that's interesting, because there's no water. They put their life jackets on, ready for the water to come. And Esther and I watched the tide come in, and it came in fast. And those people were expecting to go out on the boat. They knew the waters were coming. And they were getting ready, they got the life jackets on, they were waiting for the tide to come in so they could go out in the boat. I didn't know whether to preach this message, to be honest, because sometimes it's a hard message for us to hear, and I don't always preach like this as if you're visiting. But I felt God said to me today that this is an important time for us to tell you now, if we're going to be stronger together, we need to listen, that the tide's coming in. And we need to get people with life jackets on ready on the boat. Manuel, this is your job while you're here. Help people get ready to get in the boat. Get the life jackets on. Get them ready to get in the boat. So, the Apostle Peter explained this parallel between salvation in the ark and salvation in Jesus. 1 Peter 3, 20 to 22. 1 Peter chapter 3, 20 to 22. Can we put that one up, Kate? Okay. God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, 8 in all, were saved through water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a good conscience towards God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. How does it save us? Say again. Saves us by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand with angels, authorities and powers into submission to him. In submission to him. I want to ask you today, if you're a Christian, is your life still in submission to Jesus? If Jesus was to ask you to build an ark, something you've never seen before, you've never experienced before. Jesus was to ask you today to do something you've never done before. You go, okay, God, I'll do it. Don't understand it. How many times when God's spoken do we not understand about things? Come on, let's be honest. Just me then. Sometimes God tells us something we just don't understand. But do you know what? Just because we don't understand, if God says something to us, we still need to do it. God waited patiently for Noah to build the ark, just as he waits patiently for people to repent of their sins and to believe in Jesus and to obediently follow him. The Lord Jesus Christ, well, we'll talk about the Father, is waiting patiently for every person to get in the boat. He doesn't want to bring this day. It was the same. He didn't want the day when Jesus, his son, had to die on the cross. Probably dreaded that day. God doesn't want to bring judgment, but he has to, because he's a righteous God and he cannot allow sin to continue. Where are we today in our obedience to him? As the floodwaters were used to raise Noah up in the ark, safe above God's judgment, it's faith in Jesus Christ that saves us. Genesis 6 verse 18, but I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. See, God's covenant was a binding commitment to Noah. God makes a promise to Noah. If you believe me, if you obey me, you will be saved. It's an ongoing commitment for his church. If we believe him, if we walk in faith, if we continue to trust him, we will be saved. God makes this beautiful promise to us, made a promise to the whole world in chapter 9 of Genesis. That, remember the rainbow? What was that about? That was a promise from God that he'll never flood the earth today again. Doesn't mean to say he won't come again and judge the world, but he won't destroy it by flood. But also, we have a new promise, another covenant promise, and we've done it today in communion, where we've established a new covenant with the blood of Jesus, his death on the cross. And that's vitally important to us in 1 Corinthians 11:25. In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." We have this promise that whenever we take communion, whenever we do this, it's a new covenant, a promise that Jesus, because of his death on the cross, means that we can be saved. God's promises are yes and amen. Do you believe that? Yes. If God says it, it will happen. Now, some of God's promises are conditional. In other words, if you do this, I will do this. But some of his promises are unconditional. And he promises certain things that will happen. God always keeps his promises. Do you believe that? He always does. God always keeps his promises. Do you believe that? He always does. God always keeps his promises. Do you believe that? He always does. He's promised that he's coming back. Jesus has promised he's coming back. Are we ready? God generously rewards obedience. Genesis 6:22. Thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him. So he did. I love that. So he did. Then the Lord said to Noah, "Come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation." And the writer to the Hebrews describes Noah's faith in these words in Hebrews 11 verse 7. By faith, Noah, when he was warned about these things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. When did Noah's saving faith begin in this story? When did Noah's saving faith begin? Anybody want to suggest when it happened? Yes. 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 No.
Then he was told to wait outside the ark and then got told to go into the ark. But he didn't know that at the beginning.
No. Come on, Howard. Come on, Howard.
He started building the ark.
Before then.
Always.
When he said yes.
When he warned the people about just
before then. When he believed what God said he was going to do. When he believed the warning. He went, okay, God, I need to do something now. I can't just sit back and watch this happen. Because if I don't build the ark, nobody else is. As soon as he heard the warning, his saving faith started. We have a warning that Jesus is coming back. This is when our saving faith started, when we believe that Jesus is the Lord and we need to put our trust in him today. And if you're listening today online and you don't yet know the Lord Jesus Christ, can I just say to you, you need to get in the ark today. Tomorrow, who knows what will happen? Today is the day you need to be saved. Today is the day. Saving faith for us as Christians has to be expressed in obedience. Do we trust God? You're very quiet. Do you trust him?
Yes.
With everything?
Yes.
For everything?
Yes.
If we trust him, it will be seen in our obedience to him. What did Mary's mother say to the servants? Whatever he says to you, just do it. I said to you earlier today, some of you are on the pivotal moment. And God might ask you to do something you've never thought he was going to ask you to do. But if he asks you, there is only one answer, and that is yes. And I've been praying last night as I was here preparing this message, because I wasn't sure whether to bring this message, to be honest. That God's saying, this is the now time that I'm speaking to individuals where I'm asking them to do something, and I'm going to see if they do it. Because we'll only be stronger, better together if we're obedient to what God says, regardless of the cost to us. Because if we don't, we won't be stronger, better together. There is so much in this story of Noah. Although Noah's deliverance was provided as a gift entirely by God, God could have wiped everybody out, including Noah. But he provided a gift to Noah of salvation. But he was only accessed by obedience. If Noah had refused to build as God had told him to, there'd have been no ark to be saved him, to be saved in. God gave him faith to be righteous in obedience. And if God asks us to do anything, he will give us the faith to do it. He doesn't say, well, get on and do it then. Sort yourself out. God said, I'm going to ask you to do something, but I'm going to give you the faith to do it. I'm going to give you the ability to do it. It's going to be a win for you, because I've already given you what you need in your life right now, whatever you're facing. He's already given you the faith so that you can be obedient in what he's asking you to do. Does that make sense? God will never ask us to do something he doesn't give us the faith for. He'll never set us up to fail. He's not like that. I had a boss like that once. He'd set people up to fail and just mock them and belittle them. God is not like that. But what Noah had to do was to exercise it. To exercise his faith. To believe. To be obedient. How absurd that God says there's going to be a flood. What's a flood? just as absurd as that statement was to people in Noah's time, we can compare that today when we say Jesus is coming and the world around us goes, what's all that about then? He's been dead for 2,000 years, what do you mean? We just carry on as we are. Noah, the story of Noah, tells us Jesus is coming back. And I know I'm repeating myself, Esther, a number of times. She tells me quite often, I repeat myself. But faith in obedience has to be exercised. Some of us are a bit spiritually flabby. Do you know what I mean? Do you know what I mean? We're not exercising faith in the situation. And for us to be stronger, better together, we need to exercise faith together. John 14:21. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I too will love them and show myself to them. John 14:23. Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. If we love Jesus, what will we do? If we love Jesus, what will we do? The book tells us what we need to do. It's not about my way. It's not about choosing the bits in the book that we like. It's about doing it his way, always. In a culture that is sexually immoral, in a culture that wants to do things its own way, we're not those people. We're the knowers. That means we know. We're the knowers. We know what it says. We know what it means. And there is no excuse for any of us to choose the bits we like and the bits we don't and live parts of our life that God, we know God is not pleasing to God because we want to do things our way. And he'll understand because he's a good God, isn't he? He's a good God and he won't mind if we do those things. He'll just turn a blind eye. No, he won't. Because our sins add to the sins of the world and it corrupts the world. And this church, if we want to be stronger, better together, we need to obey him. If we don't obey the commands of Christ, we can't claim to love him. Don't say we love Jesus if we can't obey him. Don't pretend you love him. I know it's a hard message, isn't it? But it's true. Isn't it true? Some of you coming back next week, unless you're visiting. Thank you for visiting today. Like Noah, we must believe God's warning about future judgment. We need to obey his instructions for salvation. We need to trust in his covenant commitment to save us. And we need to encourage as many people as we can to get into the boat and put their hope in Jesus Christ. That's what we're to do. That's the now message. This is a message for our church now. What we need you to do. What we need us to do. So let's close our eyes for a minute.
Some of you, most of you will know that I've been doing a series on the principles of the kingdom, and it just seems right, especially as Pastor Robin has said about us coming back next week, because next week I'm speaking. And he doesn't know this, and I didn't know what he was speaking at, but next week the principle of the kingdom is obedience is better than sacrifice. So the Lord has got this on us at the moment. So come if you want to next week for the same again, because that's what the Lord has purposed to say next week. So I just want to warn you, encourage you to say, Lord, come and speak to us again and listen to this word. Thanks, Rob.
So we're going to do something now. Every time you preach a message, there's a response, because that's what the word of God demands. So I'm going to talk to anybody in this room that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ right now. Or if you're watching today, you need to be in the boat. I've said it twice. Third time, this is important. You need to be in the boat. If you want to give your life to Jesus, there is Diane on chat. And who else is on chat? And Medden. They're on chat now. If you're watching right now, through online, you can speak to them, give your life to Jesus. They'll explain to you what to do. If you're not online, you can connect with me after this service, Romin at oasisredditch.church. I'll explain to you what you need to do. And I'll meet with you if I can. But today, please, Judgment Day is coming. Get in the boat, please. So important. If you're in this room and you're not in the boat, you can give your life to Jesus now. I don't know some of you. I don't know your background, some of you. So I'm going to ask everyone just to close their eyes. If there's anybody that's not in the boat, then you want to be saved. And you can put your hand up now and I'll pray for you. Don't want to leave this room. Okay. So I'm talking to everyone that's in the boat now. Talking to you at home that's in the boat. This isn't a message I necessarily was going to bring, but I felt that I had to on Thursday. I felt I had to come down here last night and make sure I got it right. For 3 or 4 hours, I don't know how long I was here for. To make sure I got it right. Because I'm going to ask you to respond. If you know that you've not been obedient to God, I'm not going to embarrass you, asking you to stand. I won't do that. But if you know that you're not being obedient to God now, what are you going to do? What are you going to do right now, in this minute, in this time, now, yourself? I'm going to ask you to respond by everybody placing their hands upon their heart right now. Place your hand upon your heart, and I want you to talk to the Lord now. And just say, Lord, whatever you're asking me to do, I'll do it. I'm sorry if I've not done those things you've asked me to do. I apologize for that. I repent of those things, Lord. My sin does matter. You still hate sin. You hate sin. You don't make excuses for us. You're waiting patiently for us today. And Lord, whatever you're saying to me today, I ask you to come and speak into my heart right now, in Jesus' name. Lord, I repent of those things if I need to, and I'm sorry. And Lord, I want to honour you in all things, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need to talk to me at some point, make an appointment this week, then please do so.